So thank you guys so much for being here. I'm Carrie S., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, and grateful to be here. Thanks.
Hi, Carrie.
So before we get started, I'm going to practice what my sponsor always does with me when I call her. She says, "Are you seated? Close your eyes." So let's get connected before we have a conversation. And she says to me, "Together we can inhale the light of God. And we can exhale the darkness of self. Together we can inhale all that is love, all that is truth, all that is justice and beauty. And together we can exhale all that is not love, not truth, not justice, and not beauty." And for me, the set-aside prayer has been the most evolving of each day in my recovery. And so I can pray that prayer together. Set aside, God, please set aside everything that I think I know about myself, my brokenness, my spiritual path, and you, for an open heart and new experiences of myself, my brokenness, my spiritual path, and especially you, God. Great. So I'm here today to talk about steps 8 and steps 9. And this is just a little, I get this started, my refrigerator. When you want something that you never had, you have to do something you've never done. Right? We get uncomfortable in steps 8 and 9. And so for me, just getting clear with what is an amend versus saying I'm sorry. Over and over, I've said sorry to the people in my life, and it falls on deaf ears, right? Sorry is, and literally the definition is feeling distressed with someone's misfortunes. I'm sorry. It kind of falls on deaf ears. But if I want to change, if I want to have this revolutionary change, I need to make an amend. An amend literally is to fix something, right? It's to make a change. So we are in steps 8 and 9. We're going to practice how to change our ways. So let's see, where did I? Great. So my abstinence date is May 2nd, 2017. I'm barely a year and a half entirely abstinent from my alcoholic food. So I'm just a toddler in this program. I've been in program 6.5 years. My home group is the Golden Thursday night 6:30 meeting that I started after 8 months in program. My hometown didn't have a meeting in Golden, and so God put it on my heart, start a meeting. It's been amazing. My life has been absolutely extraordinarily transformed by working the steps. And for me, it has taken 3 rounds of doing the steps over the last 6 years for me to say that I am entirely abstinent after my 17 months. The first relapse that I had, I learned to grow my conception of God bigger. My conception of God was not big enough. I kept relying on myself. I kept going back to, oh, I can do this myself. I want to control this. I can do this. My second round of relapse, I learned that I had the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, the double whammy that I read about in the doctor's opinion. I found out that there are certain things that when I put into my body, it causes a craving. And my abnormal reaction is to go to the refrigerator, open the door, go to the refrigerator, open the door. So I've learned to put those things down. This third round of steps was entirely led through the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it transformed me in such a way that I can say that I have had a psychic change, that I have had an awakening, and that it has evolved every day. I feel closer to my higher power. Every day I have more willingness. to stay out of the insanity that was bulimia and craziness, insanity with food. And I know you guys all know this. That's why we can connect on this level. That's why you're here. And that's why I'm here, just to do this service. And so, amends. Looking at the big book, there are five places in the book that tell us that we will go back to compulsive overeating if we do not do this work. And the first one's on page 76. It says, remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any length for a victory over alcohol. Okay, I will eat again, and I've had relapses. I can attest. It's when I thought I had it all licked, I'm going back to the food. The second place, the warning is on the next page, 77, bottom of the page. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. Again, we get to get uncomfortable. We get to have gut-level communication with people that we know we've done harms to. And how do we know who these people are? They're in your fourth step when you did your resentments and your fears and the sex inventories. We already know who these people are, and we can talk to our sponsor, and we can find out, is this a harm? For me, the ones that I really wanted to do right away was a restitution, because I knew I had stolen money. Back when I was 23, working at a shop, it was just a mom and pop shop. It was a drawer. There was no cash register. I just took cash out of that box whenever I felt like I needed to, go get something, to some new boots maybe, whatever it was that was going to float my fancy. So I knew I owed this woman. I worked for her for 3 years. And I said to my sponsor right off the bat, I said, we hadn't even started the steps. I go, I owe money to this woman. I really need to pay this back. She was like, there's a reason that the steps are in order. We're going to go through them in order. Once you get to 9, we'll talk about it. So, and I did. I waited. got to that point. And that woman was literally the first amend I made. It was because I knew it was going to be the hardest amend. So I went to her first. I knew the rest would be easy, right? After, and that was my choice. Some people do it the other way around. Maybe the easiest one first. Page 78 in the big book. We must lose our fear of creditors, no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. So, for me, this wasn't as much of an issue, but obviously financial situations can be very fearful. I didn't have a lot of debt other than this debt that this woman didn't even know that I had stolen this money, right? So my sponsor told me was, you're going to make an appointment. You're going to call her. You're going to let her know that you have something on your heart that you would like to share with her. You don't need to tell her over the phone that you're making amends for a 12-step program or a spiritual program. You're just going to connect with her and say, hey, I know it's been 15 years since you've heard from me, but there's something I really just like to share with you. And of course, she's very curious, like, is everything okay, And I was like, the sooner the better. So tomorrow, is that right? Like, for both of us, right? So when I got there, I called my sponsor just to let her know, okay, I'm here, I've got, and I'll talk about the format that she taught me. I've got this written out. And she's like, you can do this. It's okay. You're going to, don't, and have no expectations of how this woman's, what she's going to say. Whatever she says, you are there. You are present. You are honest. You're doing your part, and that's okay. And so she was at the shop, her little shop that she still owns. We sat on the Pearl Street Mall together, like just on some brick sidewalk. And I looked at her and I said, for the 3 years that I worked for you, I was pocketing out of your cash register. And this is, and now I didn't go through the exact, I have another example, but if you look at your sheet, I must have said, I made a specific statement of the offending past. And so like I just did, it was wrong of me, Pat. to take that money from you. I did not mean to harm you directly. I'm assuming the responsibility for that behavior and any harm that I have caused you. I'm committing to you now to never do that in my life moving forward. I want to be an honest person. I don't want to steal from people. And then at the end, I look at her and I say, what can I do to make this right? Of course, I know I've got a figure in my heart that I want to pay back. You know, I've got this dollar figure and I've already talked to my sponsor about it. But I look at her and I say, is there anything that I've left out? Anything that you need to say to me? And this is where my sponsor said, I got to zip it. And I just have to, 10 seconds of solid, like, I'm waiting. My body language isn't like, you know, what? I'm there, I'm present. And maybe she didn't say anything to me. No, I take that back. She did, and it's very spiritual, and it's very beautiful, and I can share that. But what I've learned is that I have to be an active listener, and so maybe this is my mom. She's got a whole ton of stuff to say to me, and I need to listen and be like, I heard you say, Mom, that I could have showed up that day. I heard you say that, and that moving forward, I want to be my best self. But Pat looked at me, and I said, is there anything I can do moving forward? She said, keep doing what you're doing. And I was like, and then of course we had the conversation of like, what brought me to this, and my bulimia and my food. And she, you know, we have this conversation. She's like, gosh, my food has really been out of control lately. Really? This program OA, it's been really helping you? Like, you've come to this place? And I'm like, yeah, you know, and so it's such a gift. Sometimes we don't know what amends are going to bring. We don't know. And it's just, it was just the most beautiful thing that she could have gifted me that day. So then the fourth place in the big book, it says on page 79, if you're following along, it's that first paragraph. Reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any length to find a spiritual experience. We ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything. And so that day, I did not shrink, and I was so grateful. And then as I've worked the steps a couple of times since that first round of steps, I had a situation where I remembered that, I'm going to check my time. I was a maid of honor at my best friend's wedding. And at the time, I had just, it's really emotional for me to talk about this. I had started dating an alcoholic, and she knew he was invited to the wedding. And needless to say, the police came and took him away later in the evening at the wedding because of an incident between he and I. In the morning, my best friend, with, you know, all of her wisdom, is like, is this enough for you? You're gonna let him go now, right? You're gonna listen to me. You're gonna hopefully heed my advice. No. I took him back for 7 years, and so I put her on my harms list. I caused our relationship's harm. She and I stopped talking after that. Basically, she severed our relationship. And so when I was ready to do an amends again, I put her on my list. And when I went to her, it was just this opportunity to say, it was wrong of me not to listen to you. It was wrong of me not to be present to your love, your care of my situation, my 4-year-old son at the time. And I regret not listening to you. I really accept that it was my responsibility as a good mom and a friend to you. I wish I had listened to you. But going to her and making that amends was, again, it was like the hardest thing. It wasn't easy. I had to peel back the layers. But I took it to God, I took it to my sponsor, and it just revealed this opportunity. She's now a mom, and she sees, you know, her opportunity to grow and connect with me. And so amends are very, very powerful. Okay, so I get to ask myself, is what I'm about to say loving? And we demonstrate to God and to those in our lives that we've caused harm that we are willing to go to any length. Amends are wanting and needing to make things right between us. So today I am kinder, I am more compassionate, I'm more loving, I'm more willing to connect with you because I've done this hard gut level communication. And hopefully today there's not an agenda or any payoff for me doing that, for me showing up that way. I'm not, definitely not an expert. I'm definitely just another bozo on the bus working this program. But I know that another facet of amends is a living amends. So say if somebody is no longer living, there's ways, I've heard beautiful stories of people writing these letters that you have the format to maybe someone that's passed, and they've gone to a cemetery and they've read the harm to the person that's passed, and then had spiritual awakenings. Just absolutely beautiful. So let's see. We just have another few minutes. Looks like Julia, or is it? No, it goes 45. Oh, yeah. Okay, good. There we go.
You got 15 more.
Okay, perfect. So the other, let's see, there's the fifth one here on page 80. He saw that he had to place the outcome in God's hands or he would soon start drinking again. And all would be lost anyhow. I personally had one of my sponsees make it through give me their inventory in 5, and we talk about 6, 7, and they fade out. 8 and 9 is this place where people can, like, fade away. It's like a trap door. They're out. Because it is some really hard work. But again, it's so rewarding. We get to show up different. Here's another thing that I have on my refrigerator, you guys. It says, don't be sorry. Please, be different. We have teenagers in the house, so when they're like, sorry, my husband and I are like, be different. Please try. The other thing that I was taught about in this chapter, Into Action, in the big book, is it's going to also direct what is our attitude in making these amends? Are we doing it to check a box? I have to do this. My sponsor told me I need to do this. I'm doing this. I'm going to go with this attitude of willingness, this heartfelt, yes, I want to do this work, like eagerness, perseverance, and grit. So that determination in 9 is really going to be helpful for me. I meant to say this off the bat, but I'll say it. The principles. So step 8 principle is perseverance, and the principle of step 9 is love and tolerance. That's what I've been taught. So the idea of perseverance, and I kind of glazed over 8. So there are different ways to do step 8, and really it's taking the names of the people that you have from your fear inventory, your resentment inventory, and your sex inventory in the 4th step. It's taking those names and figuring out who have I caused the harms. And I've never done it this way, but I heard recently someone say they can put those names on 3x5 cards, and that way it's nice because you can like check off the card, you know, as you go. Of the people, so you kind of keep a running idea of who's next. What I've found in 9 as well is it's very self-directed. Me as a sponsor, I'm not going to say to my girls, who are you on now? Did you finish that last one? Where are you now? Come on, let's go. It's not my job to light a fire under them. For my experience was I had to stay really self-directed in, okay, this week I'm doing 3 amends and I'm going to work on, you know, or, and just make a plan. Use, you know, it's like action plan, right? So I go with this open attitude that I'm willing to do this work, because we don't shrink at anything. And then we get the promises, the 9 sub-promises that we're all very familiar with, that are read in a lot of the formats and the meetings. They're, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we're halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively, and I just have to pause on that word intuitively, because I think for me, having the awakening for me was a gut level intuition, but it's that still quiet voice, that really small voice that speaks to me, that says, do you think this is the right additive you're putting in your meal right now, or whatever it may be? It's a quiet voice. It's very intuitive. It's small. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. And so I'm just looking at my time. I've got plenty of time. You guys are painstaking about this phase. Okay. Let's see. I would like to take some questions. I told you guys a couple experiences. And is there anybody out there that would like to share a 9 step experience that they had? Because we all have different experiences. Anybody want to come up to the mic and share an amend that they made that might inspire somebody else? Or we can do Q&A as well. Mike? Yes, Cindy. Go ahead. Hey, Cindy.
I guess I've never really thought about it. What is the definition of painstaking?
Oh, I have it. Cindy's question was, what is the definition of painstaking? To act with great care and attention. Action. That's beautiful, because it is an action program. Anything that I can do, any action that I can take, and I always go back to closing the refrigerator door. It's like, that's my favorite action. I'm just going to close that door. Because if I'm standing in front of that door, just like gazing off into space, what am I looking for? I'm trying to fill that hole, fill that void. Like, get some, there's a payoff there for me to stand and stare into the refrigerator. What am I looking for? Right? But if I'm painstaking, I'm acting with great care, and I'm paying attention. And that's why I really like getting connected, like I taught you guys at the beginning, just getting into your body. Let's even just do that now. Like, close your eyes and just take a deep breath. And just feel your feet right here, right now. Just be in your body. How often do we just allow ourselves to go deeper by having this awareness of our body? Let's just use the next 2 minutes to center and have some acceptance and awareness of where you are in your program. Accept exactly where you are in your step work. May we let go of everything we think we know about what the step work is going to look like. May we seek the potential of love that is possible in connecting with others. May we speak our truth through our amends. to those who deserve our change, our kindness. And we can ask that all of those around us, the people on your right, the fellows on your left, that each of us endeavor to work through these steps that are outlined in this beloved chip of a book, knowing that we are whole in God's light and love. Take a deeper breath. Carolyn, would you like to please come up and share with us? Come on, here she comes.
Hi, I'm Carolyn, compulsive overeater. I didn't have a ton of amends to make. I thought I would, but it didn't work out talking with my sponsor. A lot of them were living amends. With my brother, my brother was a powerful amends in that I just, because of life circumstances, ended up having to just listen to him. I went ready to do an amends, but because of things that had happened for him, the time that I was going to spend with him, it was important for me to just hear what was going on in his life, because major changes had happened. His girlfriend had broken up with him. He was alone. And I would have never done that because I had a whole letter written out. I knew what I was going to say, how I was going to do this. God was telling me. And my sponsor said, just listen. And what I heard, because I didn't have all kinds of clutter in my head, was I heard his pain, and I heard his sadness, and I saw him in a way that I had not seen him in 46 years of my life. And what has transpired over the last 2 years is that my big brother, who I never felt was the big brother that I needed or wanted, has been calling me. He never called me. He's been reaching out. He's been, you know, establishing a relationship with me. And that has been really powerful. What was equally powerful was just yesterday, I did an amends with my parents, and it was kind of like I thought it would be because they're huge service people. We grew up in the church. They're all about giving to everyone else, and I could never do any wrong. And I had prepared an amends to do with them, really in owning the chaos that I created because of my behaviors around food and all of the chaos that I recognized in my life that had affected their life because they were my binge buddies, number one. And number two, they should go through the turmoil with me because they're my parents. They should just, you know, so it was owning that. And it was saying, I want to show up differently. I want to own my life and hand it over to God and allow myself to have a different experience with you going forward so that you can experience a different me, maybe. And they, of course, were like, well, we love you. You can't do anything wrong. Cheers, cheers. And that was a couple years ago. And last night I was talking to them. They'd been in a car accident and they're okay. But my mom said, we're going to step on the scale tomorrow. It's not, you know, the first thing in the world, right? They've done this before. For 30 days we've been following a food plan. We don't eat sugar or white flour anymore. Okay. My dad can't live without peanut M&Ms. I'm like, well, we've lost some weight. We don't want to tell everyone until, but we are committed to this program. And I'm like, okay. But they were so, like, it just all of a sudden, like, this God, like, presence came into me again of, like, how... Wow, their response to that car accident was way different than in the past. what they're doing may be different than what I'm doing, but how it's being inspired, I don't take ownership for it. But it's that, it's just that thing of like, I don't know what's going on. I just know that I'm working the steps. I keep showing up. I keep doing what I need to do. And some of the people in my life seem to be changing. Is it me? Is it them? Is it God? I don't know, but I'm just going, just riding that wave. And all I can do is keep working on my own recovery and bringing my authentic, honest truth to the table in a loving way. And it's just beautiful to see how things might unfold or unwind. That's all. Thanks for letting me share.
Mike's coming up. You're going to hear me in a minute anyway, so you'll get tired of hearing me. But she was a good friend of my wife's, and she did her best when we started dating to break us up. And I had a pretty big resentment around that and did the work around it and went to make amends. And I had my beautiful letter that my sponsor had approved and went to meet with her. And I started to say what was on the letter. And she was a director of a recovery program for alcoholics. And she told me I was doing it wrong. And which is, well, how our relationship is. But God was there on my shoulder, because all I said is, well, I'm sorry I'm doing it wrong, but this is what my sponsor told me to do, and I have to do it that way. And we ended up talking for about 2 hours. And I ended up walking away feeling like I didn't need her approval and that it was okay. And then I lived my relationship with her as I said I would in the amends. But the miracle for that was me, that higher power was there and didn't allow me to all of a sudden get in an argument of who was right and who was wrong, because that was my pattern in the past.
And I guess that would be a good way to kind of close by just saying we've gone through 6 and 7, ideally, and 6 being willingness, principle of willingness, and 7 being the principle of humility. So we've got to be humble with this going forward to make these amends. We're no better, no worse than we're all just on this plane trying to make the most. We're all humans, right? So we just do our best. Okay, I think we're good. Here comes Juliet. Thanks, everybody.